Francis Joy. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
And we were talking about like the Sami drums and our history, how much there has been destroyed about the history, and how much then people have had to hide their background and keep it under the table, and because of that, so there is not so much left anymore from the history, and what is the Sami Naidivuorta or Sami shamanism. But you have put a lot of effort to find out about it and study it, and now you have a whole book about it that you're going to defend it on this Saturday in Rovaniemi.
Yeah, it's very true, Aslak, and as you know, I'm someone from outside of Sami culture and also from outside of Finland, but it is true what you say, that you know, there's been at least 400 years of colonialism here in Finland, as there has been in the other Nordic countries, and this drive to destroy and to eradicate not only Sami religion, but also the whole worldview. Some of it still exists today in certain areas, that it's left what we could call a kind of a nasty hangover from the fallout of what's taken place earlier. And there's been a lot of research done in the 1980s and 1990s, particularly on this topic, but there hasn't really been so much recently. And I think the timing of the publication of the book and the subject matter is very important. And I don't know whether or not you know, but actually the year 2018 is the European Year of Cultural Heritage. And this is a project that's been initiated by the European Union because of the destruction of ancient monuments in the Middle East due to the war that's been going on there. And so the European Parliament has turned its focus onto culture issues regarding cultural heritage here in Europe. And it seems really odd or strange to me that the Sami case is not known about. And as you know, as we know, there's very much of the Sami cultural heritage that is actually still abroad in museums in Germany, France, Great Britain, Denmark, in Italy, that's still there and has been there for quite hundreds of years. So what my work does concerning this particular aspect of Sami history is it brings it back into focus. And I know that behind the scenes there's painstaking work going on with especially some of the Sami archaeologists there and the people that are working at the Cedar Museum to address these issues about repatriation, and also that this is quite this project also extends into Norway as well. So I'm hoping that people will see it as really something very relevant to be talked about.
And for the people who don't know, that you have your own background also, that how could you open more about your own background, why you got interested into this Sami shamanism?
Yeah, well, I'm from Great Britain, and before coming to England, the indigenous people in Britain would be the Druids, who were the priests and priestess castes of the Celts. And when the Romans invaded Britain in 55 AD, very, very many Druids were slaughtered. They were killed. The culture was integrated into the part of the Roman Empire, but also some of the remnants of it was absorbed into the early church, into the early Christian church. And so this is why that in Britain, the very early Christianity is what we call Celtic Christianity, because it was influenced very much by the nature, and the identity, the whole worldview of the Druids has quite many similarities to the the worldview of the Sami people and also other indigenous people from around Britain. And so there's been very much work going on, especially within the last 100 years, to recover and revive what we know about this history, which isn't taught in schools. It's really not known about at all, because Britain is a Christian country, as is Finland. And so in that sense, we can find many, many parallels.
So how much, how much has the Christianity destroyed now from your study? If you put your paper now on the table, and if we go through it, how much in percent is left? What can be found? Nobody knows. But what is now the platform? What you have found from the rock paintings and from the old drums and the paintings of the drums and the people that you have talked, what kind of picture have you painted?
Well, it's a very mixed picture, of course, because this has been a process that's gone on from when Johannes Schefferus and the priests of the northern districts wrote their first papers about Sami religion. And what's also quite unique here in the north, by comparison to other cultures, is that a lot of the early material that's been compiled about the religion and the worldview of indigenous people has traditionally been done by anthropologists. But here in the north, it's been done by priests. So it kind of gives you some idea of the angle of the sort of content and context of what has been written, because these people were all outsiders. And, there was a very radical drive in Norway, Sweden and Finland. And we also know that, there were Sami people that were put to death. The Noids were put to death in Finnmark. I think there was something like 28, 29 Sami people at least. There's recollections of one Sami shaman in Sweden being beheaded. And then also here in Finland, we have Aikenpoika, who was from Kotka, who was also given a death sentence in 1670 for using a drum for alleged sorcery. So these persecutions that were done were done as a way to terrorize and warn the Sami people about this practice of their indigenous religion, which they saw very much as related to the occult. They only saw the dark side of it. They didn't see, the other side to it, which was concerned with healing and with trance states and with cohesion of the community in the society. So what we can say is that, the drum certainly was the most powerfulest tool that the Sami had. And also it became, in the historical sources, it talks about it becoming an instrument of resistance against the church, against this oppression from the Kingdom of Sweden, which at the time Finland was a part of, and also Norway from around 1815. So it's been very instrumental, I think, as the Christianity spread from around the 12th century when it first arrived here, but more fundamentally so from around the beginning of the 17th century onwards. We see this real drive, and especially here in Finland, in areas of what was then the Kemi-Lapmark area, the areas of Kemi and Tornio. This Gabriel Todorus, who was the priest, was someone who was violent and used to whip the Sami people with the sticks, as the historical record talks about, and so he kind of terrorized the Sami people for quite a long time, and made them renounce their traditional practices, their traditional religion. Now there are some texts that suggest from sort of 19th and 20th centuries that the Sami religion was completely eradicated throughout the whole of Lapland. I'm not sure exactly how accurate that is. I think in the more remote areas there have been practices that have survived, but of course because of the threat from the authorities, those practices were done, let's say the religion went underground. So those practices were held in secret. And I don't know, I've written also that in the dissertation that in 2012 in Norway, the governor of the Tromsø municipality actually made a really big shift regarding the Sami people living there, that he gave them the authority and permission to practice their indigenous religion, and that the Sami shaman or the Noid would have the same freedom to conduct the rites of passage that the Christian priest would. And so this is why that amongst the Sami in Norway, there's a revival currently that's taking place about the practice of Sami shamanism. And I think it's fundamentally important that we never ever let the history of what's happened fall away, because this history is so important, because it helps people, it inspires people actually, from what I've seen, it inspires people to know about this, what has happened, and this terrible shame that's come from it against the Sami people. And it's there, it can be used as a kind of frame of reference for reviving what's left of the traditional ways today.
What kind of thoughts we have, Ellie?
Oh, it's really interesting. I've heard you saying that a lot of the Sami history was written by the priests, and therefore it's not like reliable. Mm. So, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at the works of Johannes Schefferus, I mean, a lot of the material that's been written around why the priests conducted a lot of these investigations was they wanted to find out what was going on regarding what they termed as Sami witchcraft. And the reason for that was that there'd been reports that the Sami in Sweden, the Kingdom of Sweden, was engaged in a 30-year war with Germany. And one of the reasons they said that the Swedes were winning the battles against the Germans was because of the Sami witchcraft, that the military in Sweden employed the shamans to use witchcraft against the German enemies. And as a result, Sweden was being victorious in its battle. So what happened was that Johannes Schefferus, who was a German linguist and professor of rhetoric in Uppsala, was commissioned by Magnus de la Garde, the High Chancellor of the Kingdom of Sweden, to investigate these claims. And he nominated Johannes Schefferus to collect reports from the priests of the northern districts and then to assess these claims to find out whether or not they were true. And people like Samuel Rehn and Olaus Gran and people like that were instrumental in making these reports. And a lot of it was things that they hadn't actually witnessed themselves, but what they'd heard, you know, from, in some cases, quite historical accounts. And in the end, Schefferus concluded that these claims about the Sami using witchcraft on the battlefield were absolutely untrue. But in some ways, it sort of empowered the Kingdom of Sweden, which was fused with the Church, with the Protestant Church. It really empowered the Kingdom of Sweden to continue to convert the Sami to Christianity. And as we know, that wasn't just about the religion; it was also about putting the children in the residential boarding schools. So there was a whole number of issues that are very apparent, and we know that there are there's a really great book called The Sami, a Cultural Encyclopedia, which is written by edited by Risto Pulkkinen and Irja Syrjävikari, that they've actually talked about some of these accounts by the priests were actually falsified in order for them to solidify their agenda against the Sami people. So today, one of the things that I've done in my research is that I've actually interviewed the Sami people to give them a voice to let them speak up about their culture as a way to change this colonized mentality that has gone on for a very, very long time. And to hear actually what the voices from within the Sami society have to say about their religion and about the culture today. And we still need to look at these old texts, and we need to criticize and analyze them because of some of the priests here, particularly in Inari, I've heard them talking that the Sami religion doesn't exist in Lapland anymore, et cetera. And it's kind of a way for the church to somehow try and maintain control regarding the autonomy and the freedom of religion that the Sami people have to practice their traditional ways.
You mean today?
Yes, I remember being at the Kirikou seminar in 2012 at the SIOS Centre when the Lutheran Church in Finland made a formal apology to the Sami people, and I remember hearing Jouko Lepisto telling the congregation there that Sami religion didn't exist anymore in Lapland, and therefore nobody's going to be interested in something which doesn't exist. And it was I think it made quite many people angry that he should be a representative of a speaker like that without asking the Sami people themselves about what they have to say about it. And this is a colonized mentality, very shaming, I think, in many ways, and sort of again this idea of disempowering. Even as recent as 6 years ago, but I know it still exists today.
How hard it was to get people to tell you about their religion and this kind of stuff. Now that we know all the history, how difficult it has been. So, was it easy for you to find people and get them to talk?
Well, I the majority of the interviews that I've done with it, as I mentioned earlier, there's a festival that's opened in Norway in a place called Lavangen. It's called Isogeisa, which is a shaman festival organized by the Sami over there, where the shamans from Sweden and Norway and the Kola Peninsula, the Russian Kildin and Skolt Sami, the Noids, meet together once each year, and they empower each other. They have 5 days of ceremony, of celebration, of rituals, healing work. There's different kinds of things that take place. And so I went to talk to the organizer there, Ronald Kverno, and explained to him about my work here in Finland. And he was open, and he said, "You're welcome, if the Sami, the healers, will talk with you, then, you're welcome to conduct interviews." And so I talked with five of the people that were there and got just brief interviews because it was the first time I made contact with them. And so it was really quite an achievement, actually, in many ways. And but they want to tell people about, now the lid has been taken off this repression, especially there in Norway. There's this kind of freedom. And of course, there's people in Norway that are not happy about this, but the Sami people that attend the festival have found this newfound freedom, and so it's given them the right to be heard and to be seen. And of course, there's a Freedom of Religion Act, in the Constitution, that people do have this right, and it's also part of the right. It's also part of the Constitution in Finland, also, which is not really talked about, that everybody should have the right to the freedom to practice their religion without any kind of persecution. So this is it's a discussion that we need to, I think, engage with. I've taught something about it in the dissertation, but it would be justified, I think, and it would serve a functional purpose to open up more debates about this regarding this autonomy of who's who and how these practices are so fundamentally important for the people.
Yeah, so no, on Saturday you will be arguing about this, that your work, and what do you think, what's gonna be the second life of your work now then? How are people going to know more about the stuff that do you think that there should be organized something more that to get bigger discussion about these issues, or?
Yeah, I do. As like, there's three main chapters to the dissertation. The first one is about the prehistory of the Sami people in central and southern Finland, which is like the basis for the research. And one of the problems in academic research in Finland is that according to the archaeological record, the Sami people don't have a prehistory here, especially in the central and southern areas below the current Sami homelands. And in the central and southern areas of the country, there's somewhere between 120 to 140 prehistoric rock painting sites. And many of these rock paintings that are found there, they have parallel figures to the figures and symbols on the shaman drums from Sweden and Norwegian Sápmi, which makes it very, very interesting. And this artwork is somewhere between 3,500 to 7,000 years old. And so what I've been doing in my research is that I've talked about these parallels. I've copied, I've got photographs of the rock paintings here in Finland, and also some of the rock carvings from the Alta site in Finnmark, where the Sami people also live, and then pictures of these Noidi drums from Sweden and Norway, and also from the one that's in the Sida Museum in Inari. And I've shown how these figures and symbols are parallel to each other, despite this, over 1,000 kilometers, and then how the Sami drum makers in Sweden, Finland, and Norway and now also reusing this artwork in a contemporary setting, as a way of keeping the cultural memory and also identity. And it's been very, very fascinating, and what I've talked about in the research and in relation to your question about continuity is that the archaeological inquiry or the academic inquiry in Finland regarding Sami history centers around mainly, in terms of rock paintings, it's been done predominantly by Finnish and by Finnish ethnographers and photographers and archaeologists, without any involvement from the Sami community, because the Sami in Finland haven't had any archaeologists. And so one of the recommendations that I've been talking about is that it would be really great to have some people from the Sami side investigating these links between the artwork, in order to sort of balance this research up and to get some Sami voices involved in these discussions, and to look at these parallels. And it's not just me that have paid attention to these details. It's also been Antti Lahelma from the University of Helsinki, who's also questioned these similarities, and Norwegian scholars also have made a point of it. So it's really, really important, I think, that we do look more at this, because as I say, according to the archaeological record, the Sami are without a history in central and southern Finland. And what I've also talked about in the research is that predominantly the studies that have looked at the Sami prehistory in Finland is very much related to Antti Aikio, as we know, has done a lot of work regarding linguistic studies, and Veli-Pekka Lehtola regarding the history of the Sami people here. And then also there's been these genetic studies, but nobody has looked at the value of art, because art is a fundamental practice for the Sami people in relation to the Dogi tradition, and also the artwork on the shaman drums, which I think is I consider to be related to the tradition of Dogi. And so these are invitations, I think, or doorways, windows of opportunity, that that we would really need to start talking about and have some conferences about up in Inari and around the Sami areas to bring this information in and to talk about it and to see, you know, to do some studies between Norway and Sweden also, because in prehistory these borders didn't exist like they do today, you know. These borders that divided Sweden and Finland and Norway, they weren't there. So you know, and as we know, the Sami people have travelled extensively. So there's a lot of very exciting potential there, I think, also. But there's a real need, I think, to engage and for us to share this knowledge with each other and you know, to make it more available. And that's exactly what I've tried to do with the book, is to bring this knowledge forward that I found out, and the studies in the past in Finland have predominantly been concerned with shamanism, which is, you know, this very interesting practice that many people have been drawn to. But what I've done in my research, I've put the emphasis on cosmology, which is the Sami worldview. It's the worldview of the structures on the drums, the sacred places, the spirits of the Sami people, the different levels where they can be found, and these how they've been represented by art, how they've been drawn with, for example, with horns on the drums. A lot of the Sami spirits have got triangular shaped heads and horns on the Sami drums, and we also find these in the rock paintings in Finland from 7,000 years ago. So I've questions have been asked, you know, we need to look further into this because it's a topic that hasn't really been researched. So this is, you know, just to say that this is what I've looked at, the role of myth and sacred narrative and art, because art is as we all know, it's very, very central to the lives of the Sami people.
Yeah, like we we know much about ourselves, but there's so much that we don't do the research, and there's a lot of work for us journalists to do this stuff and go deeper and get the connections. And like you said also about the archaeology, the problem many times is that if we do some archaeological studies, then the museum officials will put that place on hold, and if it's somebody's private land, then the museum officials will take it to ask investigation, and then so many people don't want to tell about their ancient places, and they know that, because then they would lose their for the cultural heritage. And that's also one reason, that's why it will be forgotten too, and not in the people's knowledge.
Yeah, it's a very good point. And, you know, I think you just mentioned the word there is cultural heritage. This is, you know, I'm a historian of religion, and for me, the heritage now, I mean, the environment and the world and the people, everything's changing so rapidly in these modern times. And but there is a, you know, in Finland, unfortunately, many of the rock painting sites have become tourist attractions. And as a result of that, a significant number have been totally destroyed. There's been instances where at two places there's been shotguns used to blast away, at least one site anyway, there's been a shotgun used to blast away some of the images on there, and there's been fires lit against some of the rock painting images, and then also people have scraped them away and painted over them, graffitied over them. And they, although they're protected by the Antiquities Act, on paper, there's really nothing that can be done from getting people, stopping people getting access to them. So at the same time, you know, there are, and there are sites also that are being discovered. I think in this last year, the last couple of years, three or four new sites have been discovered. So they are still around there, but at the same time, some of the more significant ones are, you know, there's vandalism going on. And I think also one of the main problems is that in the archaeological research and ethnographic research that's been done in Finland, we only have two sites within the Arctic Circle, in close to the around the current Sami areas. There's one site in Kolari, and there's another suspected site in Enontekiö, which is you know, as we know, is in the Sami area. But these are, they've been put down again as being ambiguous, you know. So if there were more sites in the Sami, what I think personally is that I think that there's been a possibility that there's been paintings around Lake Inari, but because the water levels have been raised there around the 1930s, that maybe a lot of the heritage there has been lost, actually. It's probably submerged. But again, this is just a speculation. Mm. But most of the, nearly all the rock paintings that have been found in central and southern Finland are by the water. You know, so we know also that the water has been very important for the Sami people. So there are, this is what I was saying earlier about cosmology. So if we look at the cosmology of the rock paintings, we can also find these links with the Sami people and their worldview, that passing underwater and water has been very, very important for them. You know, so these are what have prompted these questions. And also the two rock painting sites in the Sami areas are both right by the water. You know, one is painted on a Seidi, the one in Enontekiö, and the one in, I think it's called Kulinkarat in Kolari, is right by a river, actually. There's a massive red area there, but it's very difficult to make out what the figures are. Mm. Yeah. But that practice of painting by the water has been a technique. It's been a cultural practice that we know the Sami people have engaged in, and we find exactly the same practices in Finnmark at the altar site where the Sami people live. So we have to take these into consideration, you know, regarding cultural memory and also heritage. But this is one of the ways that we could say, and I think this is where the art also has the artwork also has a lot of value, is that it's the first written language it doesn't contain verbiage. It's the artwork is the it's been a what we could say interspecies communication. So in that way, it makes it really unique.
Thank you, Francis Choi, for telling us a little bit. It's so much that we could talk. So in a little time now, you have opened up a little bit about your dissertation, Sami Shamanism, Cosmology and Art as Systems of Embedded Knowledge. And you will be publicly defending this in the University of Lapland in the Esko and Asko Auditorium in Saturday, 24th March at 12 o'clock. So good luck for your defendants, and let's hope that we will keep talking about these issues, and this is not just one piece of history going to the history books.
Yeah, I hope so too. Thanks very much, Ellie and Haslak, and bye for now.